Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, but we're going to talk a little bit about the kingdoms of the world, too. There's a lot of things going on that are in the news, and there's a lot of things that are going on that are not in the news. One of the things that's not on the news very much is there's a lot of activity upon the sun. There were some megaton explosions on there, multi-megatons, you know, like 160 billion megaton explosions on the sun. And it's sending more and more radiation towards the earth, which can affect your pineal glands and the amount of melatonin that your body produces. And it can affect your adrenals. It can affect lots of different things in your body, but it can also affect satellites and electronics and power lines and gas lines that run across the face of the earth. They can accumulate a charge. And if you go back in history to the Carrington effect, which is about 150 years ago, if that happened today, what happened when a coronal mass ejection came from the sun, hit the earth, many of you probably already heard about this, it could literally melt down the entire electronic infrastructure on the sunlit side of the face of the earth if that coronal mass ejection actually struck the earth like it did during the Carrington effect 150 years ago, which actually melted telegraph wires, which were actually number 9 wires back in those days. It was pretty thick wire. It could just short out power lines and high tension power lines everywhere. It could melt down, and it has done this. You know, back in the 80s, I know guys who work in major power plants. There were a number of times when they were hit by these coronal mass ejections. And it gives you your aurora borealis and all these things. But it also affects the electronics and satellites. And it also affects the power grid. And as well as gas lines and oil pipelines and all these things, anything that's running across the earth that has a conductivity to it can absorb this electrical charge, and it could literally shut down the grid. And the estimates are that if you got hit by a major, they used to be the biggest one that they talked about that could even take place was what they call an X-class flare. And actually, before that, they thought a mega flare was about as big. An M-class flare was about as big as they can get. Normally, they see C-class flares, which are fairly small. But then they saw an X-class flare, and they actually changed the way in which they calibrated the satellites that were measuring these things. Because they actually saw it, you know, they added an extra whole logarithmic scale, and they saw one go off that actually went off that scale too. So the size of these flares can be immense. Most of them don't hit Earth, but most of them do hit planets. And for some reason or other, it's like lightning strikes. They seem to want to go towards planets. And every 11 years, the cycle changes. And every 11 years, they either hit outside planets, meaning the bigger planets farther out, or the inside planets, like Mercury. Venus gets hit numerous times, and Earth gets hit. And they can have a tremendous effect on you, on electronics, and actually can even have an effect on earthquakes and volcanoes. And I could go into a big, long story. We have recordings where we predicted something for a particular day, and the long story how that came about. And sure enough, right on that day, a particular kind of flare from a particular location on the sun's surface went off and caused, normally it takes several days before the flare gets here to the earth because we're so far away, but a, occasionally, if that solar flare is in a particular spot on the sun, you can have an instantaneous effect in the core of the Earth. And you will actually see lava rising and volcanoes all over the planet. And this actually took place on October 17th, 1998. And we knew about it ahead of time. And we talked about it. That happened to be the Day of Atonement that particular year. That shifts around because of the calendars. But it happened to be the Day of Atonement that year. And we saw that, and it was kind of confirmation of what I saw when I was 5 years old. I always knew that what goes on in the sun is a lot more important than most people think. And one of the things that Christ says, which is just amazing, is he said, look for signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And the Greek word they use for stars there actually includes planets. So if you see effects taking place on the planets, such as aurora borealis, we know they occur on Saturn, they occur on Mars, they occur on Jupiter when they get hit by these coronal mass ejections. But it also can cause literally volcanic activity on the planets. Like Venus, we know there's volcanic activity. We know the red spot has been changing for the last few years. A number of people who watch these things closely, probably not going to get it on Fox News, probably not going to get it on CNN, but these things are actually changing. And actually, we just got a report a couple of weeks ago that's talking about the amount of radiation that is even coming from the sun is increased by, certain kinds of radiation have increased by as much as 30%. And that's amazing. That can have all kinds of effect. That could actually cause global warming. as a matter of fact, you know, people always talk about global warming and all that kind of stuff, and they want to tell you that it's man-caused and they have to tax you now because of global warming. Because they're going to save the day. Global warming is directly the result of the sun. And it's really not global warming. It's climate change. Climate change, the climate of the United, of this planet, of that we see in all the different countries around the world and in the oceans, is driven by the sun. It's not driven by your automobile. And so there will be increases, there will be decreases, there will be weather will be pumped up when we have these CMEs hit the planet. Whatever is predicted in the weather will probably be greater. These big wind storms that you get from time to time, we've had wind storms that leveled whole forests up in Minnesota. Those came directly after a coronal mass ejection hit the Earth. Smaller ones, C-class, M-class, and some small X-class. If you get an X-10 or a double X flare hit the Earth, the prediction is that for that sunlit side, and the fact is that when you get those kind of flares, you can actually have several of them in a row. So you can hit not just one, the sunlit side. It can be because the second and third and fourth may hit. You can have effects all the way around the planet. They're talking about 90% of the world's population being dead after the first year. Not from the sun, but from the breakdown of our electric systems, which means no pumps, no fresh water, no refrigeration, no food processing. You know, kind of all the things that we have done to countries like Iraq and Afghanistan. We bombed them back to the Stone Age. We bombed their, this is one of the things that the Bush Senior was doing, was bombing their social infrastructure. And people, the military was complaining because they said there was no military advantage to this. But they did it anyway. They were destroying the infrastructure of Iraq. And of course, that meant that somebody was going to have to go in and rebuild it. And somebody was going to make millions, billions of dollars because they were going to have to rebuild it. But it caused the death of thousands, even millions of people. Because over 1 million people died because of the disease and the hunger. Can you imagine, you know, you run a business, no power. Not no power for a couple of days, no power for months and months. And sewage treatment plants are now dumping into the rivers, and people are going down to the river to get water because there's no water in the pipelines because you've bombed the water stations. You've destroyed the actual physical infrastructure. Didn't affect the military because they had their own systems, but it affected the population. And this is why military people were complaining about the orders to do this, but they did it anyway, you know, just following orders. And they caused the death of hundreds of thousands of people. Plus the fact that they were using DU bombs, DU depleted uranium bombs, that has been causing 300% increase in birth defects in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now some of those effects are coming home with the soldiers, quite a few of them. There's quite a few American soldiers who have died from, you know, Gulf War syndrome, whatever they want to call it, which is actually caused by contaminants like DU, like some of the depots that they blew up that had chemical weapons. Now, they said, oh, they had chemical weapons of mass destruction. Well, they did. We sold them to them. So America sold them to them. And there's actually been photos that where you can actually see the containers in these depots. But they wanted them blown up because they wanted to blow up the evidence that American military industrial complex was making a fortune off of selling to people like Saddam Hussein and other people. Because we originally supported Saddam Hussein because we wanted him to fight the Ayatollah. And so we were funding Saddam Hussein. I actually personally know people that their son was stationed in Iraq and during the Gulf Wars, and their job assignment was to make sure nobody assassinated Saddam Hussein because they wanted to leave him in power. And so there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than you know. And so anyway, I just thought I'd start up with those two things. And the fact is that if we get hit by a CME, everything's going to change in the twinkling of an eye. So that's one good reason to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because the kingdom of God is a way of self-governing a large number of people without rulers, without anybody taxing you, without anybody ruling over you, without any, but it's literally an anarchy. The kingdom of God is literally an anarchy from the point of view is there is no temporal, physical rulers that are ruling over you, making commands, exercising authority one over the other. And Jesus commanded that you be not like the governments of the Gentiles, the other nations, who exercise authority one over the other. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He was preaching in literally an anarchy, and we may get to that and explain what I mean by that. We have articles up at Preparing You that explain that in great detail so that you understand what an anarchy really is. These guys going around breaking windows and wearing black masks and hitting people with sticks, those are not anarchists. Those are idiots. They're just not, that's not anarchy. If you want to rule over your neighbor's window and break it, you're not an anarchist. You're something entirely different. And so anyway, what we were going to really talk about is this new budget that was just passed. A lot of uproar about it. Rand Paul, all these guys are talking about it. It has everything in the budget that the Democrats wanted. And the Republicans are not giving the people anything that the people who voted the Republicans in wanted. They aren't doing any of the things they wanted. Now, that's not really my government. That's the government of the United States. I'm actually separate from that government. I'm a minister of His Holy Church, of Christ's Holy Church. And that's separate from the world. They always tell you that church is separate from the state. I absolutely agree with that. The church ministers should be separate from the state. Now, I know many people out there, they're not separate from the state. They have to pay taxes, tribute to Caesar, so to speak. We just had a show, a couple hour show, and we'll be releasing that probably in a couple of days on tribute. Why you have to pay tribute and what all this stuff in the Bible about tribute and Christ holding up a coin and saying, does your master pay tribute? And then there's another spot where he says, does your master pay tribute? And Peter says yes, and Jesus pulls them aside and says, oh, you've said wrong. But then they go and get the tribute coin in the mouth of a fish. That's a completely different tribute. That's not the same tribute. We explained that in the article. I'm not going to go through that now. It's a different word they translate into tribute. They do this kind of stuff all the time in the Bible in order to keep you guys brainwashed and to turn your religion into the opiate of the people. so that you never become... Christ is actually setting people free. Moses was actually setting people free. Elijah was actually overturning authoritarian governments and setting people free. But you don't know what they were actually doing and what they were actually telling the people, because you had a bunch of mamby-pamby, puddin'-hands ministers, pie in the sky, telling you that this is what the Bible says. And we go through the Greek, we go through the Hebrew. There's hundreds, even thousands of footnotes on our web pages, so you can look it up yourself. You can find, when I tell people that the altars of Abraham were not piles of stone and he wasn't burning up sheep, they don't believe me. It says that right in the Bible, that he wasn't burning up sheep, that they weren't altars of rocks piled up where he set sheep on fire. That's not what it says in the Bible. At the time of Christ, one of the largest, most popular religious groups that had nothing to do with the government knew that was true. They read the Hebrew, they read the Torah, and they said, that's a fiction and a fraud. God does not want you to pile up stones and burn up sheep. There's nothing in the Bible about you piling up stones and burning up sheep. Absolutely nothing in there. In your translations, there is. But your translations are by people who do not understand the Bible. They don't understand Hebrew. They don't understand what they're really talking about there. That is ridiculous, right? I must be crazy to say that. But then again, you haven't read the book. And the book's for free. You know, we don't make you pay for the book. We give it away. You know, I mean, it's free online in numerous places. The articles are broke down. We got pictures. We show you what was really going on. We tell you what the Corbin of the Pharisees was. That was actually a Social Security system. We explain all that. But anyway, I'm not going to explain that today or we won't get anything done. But we're going to take a look at the budget for the United States, just as an example. You know, it's a $1 trillion budget. It's over 2,000 pages long, so we're not going to look at the whole thing. If you're listening to this in real time, you've probably seen a lot of this stuff on the news. They got $12 million for scholarships in the budget for people in Lebanon. They got $20 million for a Middle Eastern partnership initiative with scholarship programs. They got $10 million for disadvantaged Egyptian students. Meanwhile, they got American students taking out student loans they may never, ever pay off to put them in debt for years and years and years and years to come to get educations that doesn't prepare them for jobs. But they'll send millions and millions of dollars overseas to others. I mean, I'm just scratching the surface. There's another $15 million in USAID promoting international higher education between universities. Who's getting this money? Universities are getting that money. And who's getting the money at the universities? It's boondoggle. It's boondoggle. We're actually sending $12 million in military funding to Vietnam. When I was a boy, I was supposed to kill Vietnamese. They wanted to send me over there and kill Vietnamese. I never did kill any. And as a matter of fact, that's another whole story and adventure in in the kingdom of God, what happened with that whole thing. I'm one of the most unique people that you know in relationship to being drafted and being released from the military, because I was not discharged from the Army. They voided my induction into the Army as if I was never in there. I wasn't dishonorably discharged. I wasn't discharged. They voided my induction into the U.S. military. And I was actually going to sign up, you know, because I thought, well, I didn't want to go to Vietnam, but I love the sea. And so I went and passed all the tests to enter Annapolis, and I was going to go to Annapolis and become a naval officer. But when I went to sign the papers, my hands shook. I couldn't do it. I wasn't nervous, but I actually, it wasn't so much that it shook. I lost the feeling. It was like I could see it was there, but I couldn't feel it anymore. This happened a number of times, and it usually tells me, don't sign it. That's what God was saying. Don't sign this. Like something was cutting the sensation off of my arm. And saying, so I put the pencil down, and it really upset them all because they thought, well, they had me. And I didn't go in. But then later on, I was drafted, and I went in. You know, I had people wanting to pay my way to Norway so I wouldn't have to go into the draft. But I thought, you know, I didn't understand what was going on. And I understand a lot of you people out there don't understand what's really going on behind the scenes. And I didn't either. But I was operating in the spirit and following this guide. And the guide told, you know, I would say guide, like it's somebody, the spiritual compass. And it said, go in, you'll be okay. And I went in and I learned a lot of stuff when I was in there, saw a lot of stuff, got to meet a lot of high up people. They offered me West Point. They were going to pay for all my college in West Point. It was only me and one other guy they offered that to, because of where we passed on all these tests. And I turned it all down, had this other plan. But then I began to see, oh no, see, you're kind of in a labyrinth when you're in there. And you got to know, well, I got to go down this road. I got to go down this corridor, this corridor. And it eventually led me out. And I said, oh, that's it. That's where I got to go. And I got out. But I understood more about, because I had gone in, I understood more about how the system works. Not only physically, the rules and regulations and all this stuff, but how it works spiritually. Because when you understand things spiritually, you can see the future. You can see what's coming. Now, you only need to see what's coming, not because you're focusing on the future, because the kingdom of God is now. It's in the here and now. It's not in the future. But you do get to see what's coming. But you only need to see what's coming in order to facilitate what you need to do now. You don't need to know all the details, although sometimes God gives you the details just to show you how it works, like that date, October 17th. I can't even remember the date now, but I think it was 1998. I got an article written up that explains the whole thing. You just have to find it. It's one of those seek and you find articles, because I don't tell people where it is. But people will stumble upon it from time to time. But anyway, what the deal was is, you know, since then I have sat in the car, big limousine, with the head of the Democratic Party in the state of Wisconsin, who told me that he was with Eisenhower at the meeting when Eisenhower decided to have a series of brush wars in Southeast Asia for the purposes of wiping out communism. No, it wasn't that. Let's see, what was it? I'm being sarcastic here. For the purposes of stimulating the coal and steel industry, and also the military industrial complex. He happened to be in the steel industry, in the iron ore industry. And so, but he was actually at the meeting, and that's why you went to Vietnam. That's why 54,000 American young men died, why billions of dollars were spent in the war to stimulate businesses, which brings me to more of the budget. $12 million, like I said, to military funding in Vietnam. $3.5 million in nutrition assistance to Laos. $15 million to development of assistance to China. We're actually sending money to China to help out those poor Chinese while they're they got more U.S. dollars than they know what to do with. Why would we send $15 million in development assistance to China? Who's actually getting that money? $10 million for women to become law enforcement officers, American women, to become law enforcement officers in Afghanistan. What the heck is that? $10 million. We're actually paying for the police in Afghanistan. Women police in Afghanistan. What the heck is that all about? Meanwhile, they're cutting the amount of security we have on our own borders. $1.37 billion for contributions to the international organizations. What the heck is that? Okay, $51 million promoting international family planning and productive health, which means abortions and pregnancy prevention in these countries. $7 million promoting international conservation, $10 million for UN environmental programs, another $5 million for Vietnam Educational Foundation grants. I should have put that up with the other. I was going to name all these millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that go to help people, students in other countries, while your students have to take out loans. There's a pattern, actually, I'm showing you here. 35 Family Planning gets another $500 million. There's just so many things here. Oh, $38 billion in security aid for Israel, though the aid was increased by $500 million over what it was. We're talking $38 billion a year. Every dollar must be spent on weapon systems and defense equipment from U.S. companies. Now, okay, that's a piece of the puzzle. Now, I could go through and give you, you know, we're sending money to Rwanda, and Chris Hedges is getting millions of dollars in Bosnia. That's a crock. I mean, these guys who receive this money, it just goes missing. It just absolutely disappears. Nobody knows what even happens to it. It's so many paybacks and kickbacks, and it is a total ripoff of the American people. I mean, since 1971 to 1994, Haiti received $3.1 billion. It didn't go to the Haitians. It goes to paying off people like the Clintons and everybody else. Somalia got $6.2 billion. Angola got $2.9 billion. Liberia got $1.8 billion. Sierra Leone, that's nothing, little country, $1.8 billion. Chad, $3.3 billion. Burundi, $3.4 billion. Rwanda, $4.7 billion. You know, you're talking $4 billion, $5 billion, $7 billion, $8 billion for Zaire, $10 billion for Mozambique, $11 billion for Ethiopia, $13 billion for the Sudan. You know, you're actually starting to talk about some real money. After a while, you get all those billions in together, you're talking trillions of dollars. You know, hundreds of billions of dollars. And we're just talking, these are little nothing countries. I mean, we're sending money to Saudi Arabia. What the heck is that? And, you know, foreign aid is only about 1% of the budget. So where's all the rest of that money going? And who's it by? What are we stimulating? Guys are walking away with fortunes. You have no idea. It's absolutely corrupt from top to bottom. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, the National Science Foundation, how much money do you think they got? Well, they got at least $6 billion this year in the budget. They actually increased that over what, and they do things like, you know, a study of the Japanese quail to find out if they are more sexually promiscuous on cocaine. That's your tax dollars. There it goes. So now, is this all about just wasting money and paybacks? Really, this is all about keeping you in debt. They do not want to balance the budget. If they balance the budget, you'd be free. All your taxes are just paying the interest on the loan. that is providing these billions of dollars. Your taxes do not build the roads. Your taxes pay the interest on the debt of the money they borrowed to build the roads. This is about keeping you in debt, because debt is bondage. Debt is slavery. And that's what the Bible actually says. Now, this has come about. I mean, why do you even owe income tax? You know, if I give you $10 worth of my labor and you give me $10, where's the income? That was an exchange. There's no income. But it's called income now. And people say, well, it's unconstitutional. It's not right. And we're not required to follow 1040. Yada, 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 yada. None of that's true. We have articles up. We have books up that show you exactly how the system works. And the amazing thing is that Jesus knew exactly how the system worked too. And he told you how to set yourself free from the system and how to become free. Now, it's not an overnight thing. You don't just file some papers and then presto, bingo, magically you're free. No, you have to learn something about freedom. As freedom as a people, not freedom as an individual. You want to be free as an individual, you can just throw your ID out the window and all your cards and everything, you know, your social security number and everything, and just take off running across the desert. And you're free. Now, you may not survive, but you're free. You know, and just never use those numbers and names again, and you're free. And I actually know guys that do just about that. They change their name and they say, I'm not that person. And they don't raise a family. They don't have community. They end up old and poor and wretched. And that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God thrived during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. And since history repeats itself and everything you see going on in the United States today, including the Constitution, is Roman. And we can show you that. I have a whole book, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitution, show you that you're doing exactly what Rome did, which is exactly what Nimrod did, which is exactly what Cain did, and that's where you're at today. But I strip away all the images and the coloring and the, you know, so that you can actually see what is actually going on. What is actually the motivation for all this? How is this actually functioning in the world today? And it's the same way it always has. And the way to be free is the same way it has always been as well. And that's what we're trying to show people. And that's what we're trying to bring people to understanding. So we're going to take a little bit of a break and we'll be right back. We're going to talk about the solution. And we're going to give you a little bit more understanding, because this idea of a government that's an anarchy actually goes all the way back to Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey. And it goes back to Zeno. And it goes back to a lot of people. I mean, literally Israel, when it was first started, the original Israel, not this thing posing as Israel now. And most of the laws that you see written down, the 700 laws, most people don't understand it. If they think that God wanted them to pile up stones and burn up sheep, they don't understand the laws, because those laws were not that kind of law. They had the Ten Commandments that says don't kill, don't covet your neighbor's goods, don't steal, basic stuff like that. The Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, that was about debt. It wasn't have anything to do with the day. It's a way of staying out of debt. And it just goes on and on and on and on. But we'll explain all that when we come back. But now we'll take a little bit of a break. Well, welcome back. For those of you who don't know, we have several websites. One is preparingyou.com. It's just the simple words, preparing you, all one word, .com. And that's a wiki site. So that's made by a lot of people. I'm probably one of the major contributors It has hundreds and hundreds of articles, has all kinds of secret information, but it's free. You may need a guide sometimes to find your way around in there because there's so much. I mean, there's a search engine on every page. But it's a wiki site, so it's constructed by many people. We actually have a new site that's going to be coming up, similar to Preparing You, that's going to have everything that Preparing You has, but it has a lot more bells and whistles. But it's a basic site. It's got, like I say, thousands of footnotes, thousands and thousands of links, all kinds of information, all verifiable. And if you people want to argue some of these points, we'll let you come on the show. But what you really need to do, you'll see a Join the Network link over there on the left-hand side if you go to preparingyou.com. And you join the network in your area. If you're in Australia, join in Australia. We have people in Australia. We have people in South Africa. We have people in Canada. We have people in Sweden. But most of the people are in the United States. And if, you know, we have some people want to make more contact down in South America as well. But it's, you have to build it. And we're not going to build it so that you can come. You build it. So we just created the network so you can join the, in these places. We have all these different pages that explain how our free government operates. People think, oh, I hate government. You hate authoritarian government, top-down authoritarian government. And it's usually a bad thing because power corrupts. And if you centralize power, it corrupts you. You know, the United States, they got three branches of government. They supposedly, they think this is a really clever idea. Heck, Rome had three branches of government. I mean, most people don't know it. If you looked up the word imperator, which is where we get the word emperor, in Collins Latin Dictionary, the definition of imperator is commander-in-chief. That's right. That's the definition, commander-in-chief. Because that's what he was. Imperator is the head of the army and the navy. And that's what the emperor was. He was head of the army and the navy. He had two other offices. One of them was Principas Civitas, which means first citizen. That would be translated today as president. That's what president comes from, the word principas, first citizen, president. And that's the chief executive officer of Rome, a municipality, which is Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. was a tract of land that belonged to Maryland, Mary's land, you know, and it was granted, actually it was cessioned, the word they use is cessioned, and there's a reason why, but I won't go into that, to the United States federal government to build Washington, D.C. on. It was originally, almost all of it was originally a single estate. And you can go look this up, go look it up in Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil. And the estate had a name. In those days, they named estates. If you had a large amount of land, a tract of land, they put a name on it so you know which one they were talking about. The name of that estate was Rome. That's what Washington, D.C. is built on, an estate that was cessioned to the federal government. And originally it was named Rome. And if you look up who owned Rome that was given to the United States, it's the name Pope. Now, you don't have to believe that. Go read Tupper's book. I knew Tupper before he died. I knew Tupper before he, way back. As a matter of fact, I even knew the guy who painted the picture on his first book, Miracle on Main Street, Miracle on Main Street, which was about the Federal Reserve. And I knew him when he was a kid. So it's amazing. All these people crossed my life over the years. And, you know, 300 million Americans, I don't know that many. How come I know these people? You'd be surprised who I know. But it doesn't really make any difference. It's, you need to know Christ. You need to know what Christ was really all about. You need to know Christ means anointing, the Spirit of Christ. And then you'll know the path to freedom. Now, you go to your regular church on the corner, you're probably not going to get to know Christ there. Because that's the apostate church. That's the ones that Jesus talked about, many coming in my name, but actually being workers of iniquity. That church is the opiate of the people. Now, they're going to tell you a lot of stuff that Christ said that's probably true. But they're not going to tell you the whole truth. You come to Preparing You, you join the network, we'll tell you the whole truth. Well, we may not tell you everything. So we want you to learn to discover some of it yourself. But anyway, if you go to Preparing You, you can also go to a website called, not website, but a web page. You just look up there in the search engine for the web page, Anarchist. Anarchist, A-N-A-R-C-H-I-S-T. And I'll be talking about that page in a second. But we have another website, hisholychurch.org. And we also have keysofthekingdom.info. That has a lot of audios on it. You can get podcasts. We got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of audios on all kinds of subjects, like why you have to pay income tax. Yeah, like I said, we're going to have a deal out on tribute just shortly, but we show you how the system works. You know, I mean, I read those laws. Besides studying Greek and Hebrew and knowing all this stuff and being up close, you know, I could have gone to West Point, I could have gone to Annapolis, I could have gone to all these things. But instead, I went to God, and God showed me even more than I would have learned in those places. And I'm willing to share it with you, but you have to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, the kingdom of God, I said, is an anarchy. People say, oh, that's ridiculous. How could it be an anarchy? Well, there's either two reasons why they think it's not an anarchy. One is either they don't understand the kingdom of God, or they don't understand what an anarchy is. And anarchy comes with a Greek word that is the negative, an, and the word archy, which means ruler. Doesn't really mean leader. A ruler may be a leader, but it means a ruler. They have another word for leader. A leader is somebody you can follow or not follow. You know, when I was a little kid, a lot of times people would follow me. We would do little adventures up like these caves, and they would let me go out front. So I guess I was the leader. I was the one that had the BB gun and the Boy Scout flashlight. But so I got to be the leader. But they didn't have to follow me. I didn't have any rule over them. I was just the leader. I was the first one down the tube, so to speak. Anarchy is not without leaders, is without rulers. No one can exercise over authority over you. You know you're living in an anarchy when you're not trying to take power away from anybody else, when you're not trying to rule over anybody else, nor do you have any rulers. You don't have any taxes you have to pay. Nobody can make laws and rules for you. They can't sign treaties for you. Well, I just described Israel. The original Israel. Now, the Israel they have today, it breaks every rule in the book. That's not Israel. And all these false Christians, they don't understand that because they're under a strong delusion. And I don't fault them for it. I mean, it's really clever how they've deluded everybody. But we're revealing that, showing you what the Bible really says. But anyway, in the table of contents, which is on there, it will appear when you load the page. There's anarchy, and we go through a brief definition. We have the title Beloved Anarchist. That would be Christ. He said, you're not to be like the rulers of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other and call themselves benefactors. You know, that's your government can give you all kinds of benefits and give you all kinds of assistance and everything, but they only give you what they take away from your neighbor. That's a covetous practice. And Peter says through covetous practices, they will make merchandise of you. You will become a slave. And you will even curse your children through those covetous practices. Corban was a social security system. And Jesus said, the Corban of the Pharisees makes the word of God to none effect. It's what brings you into bondage. Plutarch said, the greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Polybius, you know, the historian of historians said that Rome was in trouble because people were becoming accustomed to living at the expense of others, their neighbor. Public school, public health, all these things that are paid for by taxes, forced contributions, that's what brings you into bondage. And remember, Israel went into bondage in Egypt because of the actions of one generation. And they were in bondage for 400 years. But there's a way out. And we're not going to be able to tell you the whole thing now, but you'll be joining the network, right? So you can join the network and we'll give you private tutoring. Because there's the network, And there's the Living Network. You know, we just revealed something a couple of months ago, and we wrote articles on it and everything. And it's right in the Bible, been in the Bible for 2,000 years in the New Testament. And I bet you can mention it to pastors and preachers all over the country, and they won't even know it was there. And it's great detail on how to organize yourself to be free. And it tells you right there. And they read over it, and they don't see it. It's explained in detail right there in the text. And they don't even know it's there. I went around, traveled all over the country, and I asked pastors and preachers. And I had a room just full of pastors, hundreds of years of study between them. And I asked them, what did Jesus list as the weightier matters? And almost every translation refers to these things as the weightier matters. And he condemned the Pharisees because they did not attend to the weightier matters. And all these preachers, all these ministers from all these different denominations in this room listening to me, they asked me, they begged me to come. They actually came, found me out on the desert and dragged me. They literally grabbed my arm and pulled me, made me go down there and talk. I talked to them for 7 hours straight. But then I asked them that question. So what did Jesus list as the weightier matters? None of them knew. None of them could list them off. And it says it right in every single Bible. And they didn't know what it was. And I could tell you, but I'm not. But I'll tell you if you join the network. Ask the question on the network, we'll tell you. But in those the subtitles there, we also talk about ancient anarchists. And that's just recently been added. And it talks about the anthropologists say that, and I can show you all kinds of books that tell you this, that most governments throughout history have been voluntary systems. They don't have rulers. They don't have men who exercise authority. They don't have imposed taxes. They don't have a draft. All those things are bad things. And the Bible tells you that they're bad things. They tell you if you have those things, you're sinning against God. You're rejecting God if you have those things. And it tells you right in the Bible, clearly. And some of those quotes where it clearly tells you were quoted in Common Sense by Thomas Paine. But your average person in the government, they don't know this. The whole debt thing with the budget, they want you in debt. This is how they get you into bondage. There's four ways out of that. And there has been four ways out of that since Nimrod and Cain and Caesar and Pharaoh. And one of them, they're not going to do. Number two, probably you don't have access to that anymore. So that leaves three and four. You're probably going to get stuck with number four. The problem with number four is most people aren't going to survive number four. And I chuckle, but I mean, this is the way it is. You know, the truth is not frightening once you see the whole truth. And anyway, so Christ is who started this anarchy. Nimrod is the reverse of that. Pharaoh is the reverse of that. Caesar is the first reverse of that. There is such a thing as a social compact. We explain in detail how it works. And every time you go into court, they look at the social compact. They don't tell you that. But we can show you how that works. But you don't want to go into court. You want to go into liberty under God. But you can go to China and find Lao Tzu, you know, the Tao Te Ching, or Peo Ching Yin, who argued that there should be neither lord nor subject, yet he talked about a government. He didn't have the word anarchia or anarchos, which are the Greek terms, which we turn into anarchy. And it's not a socialist state. Because socialism, there's somebody exercising authority. You know, the community exercises authority. In a free state, the community doesn't have any authority overruling you. You don't have any authority overruling anybody else. If you steal from your neighbor, they can come down on you with both feet. But if you don't steal from your neighbor, they can't touch you. So anyway, this term, you can trace it all the way back, like I said, to Homer's Iliad. And you can Herodotus in his histories, he used the term. That's in the 5th century. In a play by Aeschylus, Seven Against Thebes, they talk about anarchy there. But really, the cynic Diogenes, he talked about it. And of course, he was the teacher for Zeno, and Zeno of Citium, and who was a Stoic. But anyway, I'm running through this rapidly. You can go read the article if you want. But he said, the wise should not give up their liberty to the state. I mean, this is the kind of stuff he was talking about. This is several hundred years before Christ. You know, over 100 years before Polybius. A couple hundred years before Plutarch. All these guys are telling you how to be free. They're not going to tell you about Zeno's Republic. They're going to tell you about Plato's Republic, which was really opposed to the freedom of Zeno's Republic. Plato's Republic was a bad thing. of course, the Union Soviet Socialist Republic, China's Republic, all these things call themselves a republic. But they're actually, like the United States calls itself a republic, but actually it doesn't. In the U.S. Creed, it says that it is a democracy within a republic. And many years ago, your parents left the republic and entered into the democracy in order to obtain benefits at the expense of their neighbor. And they cursed you with bondage. Now, this was prophesied many years ago, and I could show you the whole process of how this comes about. But really what you want to know is the process of how you get free again. So if you got in bondage because your parents began to covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of governments they create for themselves, which is a rejection of God, because the governments they create are ones that exercise authority. Now, the Republic had very little power, but it does have the power to enforce contract. The United States government is not the Republic. The Republic existed before the United States government. The United States government is an indirect democracy within a republic. They tell you that. They've ruled this in their courts and in their Congress. So anyway, what they do is they same as they've always done, and we can go through it in great detail. I know I've jumped a lot of hurdles here, and I may have gone too quick for a lot of you. But if you go there to that article, you'll find link after link. Just run your mouse over the different words and you'll see links showing up, what merchandise is, what exercising authority means, why the word benefactor is a live link, and we'll take you step by step. We even have a section down there, the asylum state. I got some great stories about that. It's hidden away in hundreds and hundreds of our audios, exactly what that is. But that's kind of what you want to find. And there's a huge learning curve on this, because you've got your whole mind has to think differently. If you think you want to go this way, sink this liberty under God, where only God is the ruler through your heart and your mind, then, you know, hey, join us and find out what the kingdom of heaven is really all about. One of the things that Zeno says is he talks about Zeno argued that his republic could only exist amongst those who would be faithful in the natural moral law, whatever that is, of the individual. And only the virtuous can be regarded as a true citizen. Now that could take another hour to unpack. We will unpack these things with you. We'll let you call in and ask questions. You have to join the network, and then we will recognize your number when you call in, and we will show you how the kingdom of God actually works, and you can choose to seek it or not. You can join, like I said, there's the network, and then there is the living network. And the living network is the tens, hundreds, and thousands. Almost every free system of self-government, voluntary system of self-government, has been absolutely dependent upon small groups of people coming together and linking themselves together through a network of servant leaders, servant ministers. We actually, minister actually comes from the word that means servant. And so none of our ministers are paid a salary. They all are volunteers. Most everything that we get done is through volunteers because we don't deal with a lot of money. We're not in this for the money. This is a passion to share with you the way of liberty, what leads to liberty under God. And we will share that with those who want to walk with us. And you do it in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. Christ commanded that his ministers require the people to sit down in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. Says it right in the Bible. He actually uses, the only time he used the word command in relationship to commanding a person was he commanded his disciples to make the people sit down in these groups, these symposia, which is like 10 people, in ranks of 50 and ranks of 100. And they had to do that or there wasn't going to be any loaves of fishes. That's where it talks about that. You can look it up in Mark. You can look it up at Preparing You. We can take you right through the Greek and show you that this is what he was saying. That's you self-organizing yourself into a voluntary system of free assemblies. It's no different than what the French underground did when the Nazis invaded. They organized themselves in this network of people. They didn't know everybody in the network, but they had a way of connecting everybody so that they could make a uniform stand. That's what the altars of Abraham was doing. That's why he could muster an army overnight and destroy the army that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and city state after city state after city state. He could do it in one night because he could pull this army together, not because they were piling up stones and burning up sheep, but they were creating the altars of Abraham, which is a metaphor for a system network. And we can show you right in the Hebrew, without question, that's what he was doing. And we have those articles. We have recordings on it. We're trying to put these recordings and link them up with the different articles. So when you go to the article, you can hear the recording. Because a lot of times it helps people actually hear it explained out, not just read it. That's okay. But more than that, we can connect you in the living network by gathering you in this, which we don't post where all these congregations are. That's a, to understand where they are, you have to develop trust. You have to enter into that network and start walking with those people. And it's quite a skill to learn how to do that. It's quite a skill to learn how to be a free people. It says that we have 26 minutes left of on-air time. But normally my show is only an hour long. So I don't know. Proof has set this up. And it looks like he set me up an hour and a half. And so I don't know. Should I give you another break? Oh, yeah. I see it here. He put our show in for 90 minutes. So our show just became 90 minutes long. What do you know? It was an hour long last week. So anyway, so I get to talk to you for another half hour, I guess. I could talk about a lot of things. There's probably a chat room I should be connected to. And then you could ask me questions on the chat. I could take a look at that. We've had a lot of technical difficulties in the last few weeks, so I haven't been putting a lot of new shows on here. But we want to get this show so that people can call in and ask questions. Now, there's a lot of trolls out there who call in and pretend like they're asking a question, and then they start blurting out all kinds of obscenities. And so we just don't even want to mess with that. I mean, we can cut them out of the audios later. That's a lot of work. We're only interested in really serious people who want to know the truth. I've been around a long time. I'm supposedly a really old man, but I outran a sheep today and caught it with my sheep crook out on the desert here. And, of course, it ended up, my grandson helped me get it all the way back into the barn. Anyway, we'll be expanding this program on a regular basis and giving you a chance to call in, because we could help you with a lot of things. We could help you with health issues. I mean, you know, decades ago, I built right outside in the shop, we still have it there, our own Rife machine. I met some people at one of the seminars, one of the church gatherings, one of our feasts. We have a feast in the fall. We have feasts in the spring in other parts of the United States. We can actually have feasts and gatherings in Australia or any place you want to have them. You don't have to be. What the network is for is to start bringing people together, because you're going to need other people. You're going to need a network of people that have skills, but also have that character, that moral law character. And it's going to take a while to figure out if they have it. And you're also going to have to take a little while to find out how much of it you have. Really, this is all about an inner, you know, a free society is a free society of individuals. I always tell people you have to learn how to walk alone to together. We really want to expand this blog talk because we want to get actual people, you know, in conversation, talking about their problems there and help them. And I tell you, we've seen miraculous healings. We've seen huge. I mean, the number of people that tell me we've completely changed their life is astounding. So in the meantime, I'll run over and we'll talk a little bit about I mentioned the asylum state, forms of government. Did you know, if you look up a definition of the church in Black's Law Dictionary, it says the church is one form of government. And it is. It's actually a government that's separate from the governments of Australia, separate from the governments of the United States, separate from the governments of Canada. It's a separate government. It operates different than those governments. And of course, Jesus said to his apostles, I appoint unto you a government, a kingdom, a basileia in the Greek, which means a government. But it's not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other. So it's a different form of government than that. And that's what people, they see, you hear the word government, they think authoritarian state. Where's the state in the kingdom of God? The state is your status. And I talked at the beginning of the show about division of powers. You know, the judiciary, the executive branch, the principas civitas, and judiciary and Congress. You know, the assembly, the Senate in Rome was, you know, this other, you know, branch of government. And they had all those in the Roman government. They had a constitution. They had oaths of office. And so that you had a commander-in-chief. You know, just to give you an idea, the difference between the mark of the beast and the image of the beast and the image of the beast, and it tells you right in Revelations, the difference of the beast and the image of the beast, which is the similitude of the beast, it's like the beast, but it's not the beast, but it's like it, is that the image of the beast, which comes later on, is able to make fire come down from the heavens in the sight of man. That's what it says. Okay, what's the difference between the emperor of Rome and the commander-in-chief of the United States? The emperor of Rome had another office, apotheos, and that meant appointer of gods. That's the Greek word for appointer of gods. That means he appoints the Supreme Court of Rome. That's what he does. That's what makes him an appointer of God. But he also says that he's a judge. That's what the word God means. It means ruling judge. You can look that up in your modern concordance. Magistrates were referred to as gods. You think it means the God of heaven. When he says he's divine, and it meant that he had the right to decide good and evil, to judge you. That's what he's saying. It's not mystical. I mean, it is mystical, but it's temporal too. Did you know the painting in the Capitol Dome of the United States is named the Apotheos of Washington? And on the U.S. government website, it says that painting raises Washington to the rank of God. That's a direct quote. I'm not making it up. Go to our website, look up God's Many, look up Apotheos, A-P-O, Theos, T-H-E-O-S. That's the Theos is the Greek word for God. Even the word Elohim was used to translate it into judge. It meant magistrates. And see, you want to make covenants with these other gods, these other magistrates, these other judges who can rule over you and drag you into their courts and tell you what is good and evil. But you have. Now you want to go back to the God. You want to be the prodigal son. You got to do the reverse of what got you to where you are. So the reason we tell you what got you to where you are is so you can do the reverse and find your way back. And if you go back, something mystical takes place. Something temporal takes place. You want to be set free in spirit and in truth and in reality and in deed. If I just set you free in deed, but not in spirit, you'll be right back in bondage again. You can take man out of Egypt, but he'll be going with the Dathans and all these guys and going right back into bondage again. That's what they did with the golden calf. You want to read our article on Golden Calf? You know what the Golden Calf was? Central bank. Every single city-state had one. I shouldn't say everyone. Most of the centralized powered city-states had a golden statue. And you know what they called it in the Greek? Reserve fund. It was their Federal Reserve Fund. They just put it in a statue because they didn't have vaults to put it in. We could tell you so much. But you know, that's why we're putting in a recording. If you join the network, that living network, those actual congregations, we will share even more amazing things. But anyway, so governments, most of them exercise authority. But in the kingdom of God, the power of the state is not divided into three branches of government. It's divided in every single individual, not as a collective. Not as a democracy where you exercise authority one over the other, but as individuals in free assemblies. You know, it never mentions the word charity anywhere in the Old Testament. Well, how can that be? But you know what it does? It mentions free will offerings. But they mention charity all the time in the New Testament. But they don't always translate the word charity as charity. They also translate it as love. The same word that's translated charity is also translated love. And another thing is the word charity comes from the word charis. The Greek word charis. That's where the word charity comes from. But the word charis in the Bible is never translated charity. So what is that all about? So anyway, there's just a lot to learn, a lot to understand, a lot to do, and a lot to get ready for. But you're going to have to get ready for it. And the best way to do that is do it with others. You learn by doing. And so you join the email network in whatever state you're in. You know, we have actually combined some of the states. Like if you join the Oregon group, you'll be in the Washington, Idaho group. And we're not going to tell you where everybody's at. You join the group, then we may tell you where the closest congregation to you is. And it may be a long ways away. It doesn't matter. We're not about sitting in church and scratching each other's back and making each other feel good. We're not here tickling your ears. We're here preparing you for liberty under God. Because if you don't start looking for the liberty under God, you will perish in the days to come. Because you need to do some. The Christians thrived during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Yeah, a lot of them are persecuted, but a lot of them nobody could find. Nobody knew where they were. They didn't even know who they were. But they were getting around. And they were becoming so successful during, you know, the famines and during the pestilence and during all these things, because they had ways of healing one another. I just mentioned the rife. I could tell you all kinds of things, all kinds of ways. You know, I'm an old guy, but there's a lot of things you can do to improve your health and to improve your longevity. But we're not advertising that. We're advertising you need to personally turn your thinking around and start thinking a different way. Because that's what Christianity is all about, is about thinking this other way. And it's the way of the early Christians. It's the way of early Israel. It's the way of Abraham. And it's the way of Zeno. It's actually even the way of Buddha. But the modern Buddhists have twisted Buddha around just the same as the modern Christian has twisted Christ around. And, you know, I really don't know that much about some of these different characters that I've just been mentioning, besides Zeno, you know, and these ancient anarchists, these governments without rulers. See, in Israel, there were no kings in Israel. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. And that works really good if the eyes of the men are clear about what is moral and righteous. If you want to be immoral and unrighteous and selfish, you're on your own. You might as well just run for it, because I can't help you. But if you see a value in a moral lifestyle, I mean, basic moral stuff, you know, it's not that complicated. But you can join the network and then seek to join the living network by joining one of the congregations. And as you build trust amongst those people, they will share more and more. The ministers know more about where everybody else is. Everybody doesn't need to know where everybody else is. I mean, we may have wheat farmers. We may have doctors. We may have, we probably don't have a lot of doctors, but we have a lot of people that know a lot about health. They may not have a DR in front of their name or initials after their name, but they're pretty sharp. But when you start getting people together that care about others as much as they care about themselves, you got a chance. There's hope. There's hope in the way. That's what Christianity was called. It was called the way. And Christ said that there would be people distorting it and twisting it and making it something else. And they did it with Zeno. They did it with Peo Ching Yen and Lao Zi, or Zhu, I guess is the way they pronounce it. Lao Zhu. And I'm not very good at Chinese. You know, I can read more of it than I can say. and the only reason I know anything about Chinese is that Hebrew language is somewhere between Chinese and Sanskrit and, you know, languages like Greek and Latin and all these other languages, because it has an alphabet. But what most people don't know is the alphabet, each letter has a meaning. And by bringing those letters together, you create a word. And all the Hebrew words are three letters long. But one three-letter word might have 500 different ways of appearing in the text. In other words, 500 different places where the three letters appear and other letters are added on. And that changes the meaning. And so you can make Hebrew mean almost anything you want. Plus, every single Hebrew word usually has two meanings, an abstract meaning and an actual physical meaning. And we could go on to, and you can go listen to our other recordings on sophistry. the altars of sophistry. Yeah, I can't even remember all the articles we have. But you join the network and people will help you, because that's what we want to do. Right now, you're a member, chances are you're a member of the Roman Imperial cult. You're in a system of Corbin that's making the word of God to none effect. It's cursing your children. It's making you merchandise, human resources. And if you want to be free, you have to turn around and go another way. And that's what we're teaching people, how to go that other way. You know, an interesting thing, I'm on Facebook too, although we have a His Holy Church Facebook. You can get on that too, but that really isn't going to put you in the network. You're not going to get the secret stuff. You're not going to get much help. You're not going to get any loaves and fishes because you have to sit down in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands before we can give you loaves and fishes. That's your step. I mean, you can sit down with any group you want, and they're all free assemblies. So it's not like we're dictating to you. It's just that we're required by Christ to require that you show us that you're interested in others as much as you're interested in yourself. And the way you show that is you sit down in these tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. If you're willing to sit down in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands, then you've shown us that this is what you want. You want to do the right thing. You probably don't want to do it perfectly, but that's why you join together, to find out what you're missing and what you need to learn and what you need to do. And what you know, I mean, there's so much we could teach you, you know, as so many skilled people in our network help you find work, help you find good health. We can do all this stuff because we're interested in community. The kingdom of God is an intentional community based on free assembly. And so that's what you need to do, is freely assemble with one another. And what happens is when you start assembling with other people that are on the same road, and some of the people that you assemble with will probably not really be on the road that much. They'll be a little delusional. You'll get all kinds, but that's okay, because it tests us and it makes us stronger. It will make us or break us. Well, if you do it right, it will be a benefit. So the idea is that you come together and you work together and you interact together. You study together. You learn together. You rebuke one another. You challenge one another. There's free speech in the kingdom of God. You can have all kinds of different opinions and talk it out. But we have some basic direction that we're going in. And the more you begin to understand what Christ was doing, what Moses was doing, what Abraham was doing, what Elijah was doing, which is not what they're telling you in your churches, where your pastors don't even know what the weightier matters are. The more you begin to see it, the more pieces of the puzzle start putting together. It's like putting together one of those, you know, 5,000 piece puzzles. I don't know how big those puzzles get. I don't do it too often. But the more you put the pieces in place, the more the picture begins to reveal itself. And unfortunately, or it's a challenge, I don't believe that you'll even understand what I'm saying unless the Spirit is talking to you in your heart. If you hear something in what I'm saying that you think it rings true in you, now you have to turn your heart into physical steps. You have to take a step towards the kingdom. You have to turn your feelings into actions. And, you know, like most preachers tell you, you have to send me money. No, you have to start caring about others. And one of the ways to show that you care about others is to gather together. We don't gather together to get our ears tickled or to scratch each other's back or to feel good or to get that religious feeling or play a certain music and all that stuff. You want to play music, you got homes of your own. Everybody's got iPods or whatever they call them. I don't have one, but everybody else does. And you go play your own music. But we come together to test the metal that our hearts are made out of, to test, to help us help each other. Because the reason you're in bondage is because you came together to take from your neighbor, to get benefits at the expense of your neighbor. That's why you're in bondage. That's why you're, that and the fact that you've been slothful in seeking the kingdom. Because those are the two things. Covetous practices and sloth is what puts you under tribute. So you want to get out from underneath tribute. You want to become free souls under God. You have to reverse that process. You have to start caring about others. So back to the budget. What does that mean? The government was voted in the recent election to reduce the budget, to secure the borders, to do all sorts of things that the budget is not doing. It's doing the absolute opposite. It's three times what the American people can afford. And it shows no willingness by the newly elected Republicans or anybody to reverse that process of skyrocketing debt, which will eventually bring about inflation and curses your children with having to deal with this problem. Why are we so surprised? Was that not predicted? Is not that what we were told from the beginning? In 1 Samuel 8, it tells us that the people who wanted to have a ruler who could exercise authority and make things right, to make them safe and make them secure, would bring about certain events. And God said, hearken unto the voice of the people. That's how you got this election. That's the voice of the people, isn't it? Wanted more men to fix things for them. And you got it. And what did he say? He said, protest heavily for what they're asking for. And he said, they're going to take, and they're going to take, and they're going to take, and they're going to take the first fruits, the best of the fields. They're going to take and take and take and take. And when you cry out, I will not hear you. That's what God is telling you, told you in the beginning. Even if you were to read Thomas Paine's Common Sense, he quotes Samuel 8 extensively. But your modern American students coming out of the schools, out of the high schools, out of the colleges, they don't understand that what this is all about. Your Christians, so-called Christians sitting in your churches, they don't understand. They have already rejected God. They don't go to church for their daily administration. They go to the state. They go to the men who exercise authority. They pray to the fathers of the earth. And we have all the articles that show you exactly why Jesus said, call no man on earth father, but my Father who is in heaven. That's where you pray for your daily bread. That's what it says, your daily bread in the Our Father. People repeat that. But where's your daily bread? It's food stamps, welfare, Social Security. You don't pray to God. You pray to the gods of the world. And so this is where you're at. You should have your taxes raised. You should go farther and farther in debt. And you will continue to do that until you repent. Turn around your thinking and start actually seeking that kingdom of God, that other form of government, and sit down in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands and start caring for one another as if you really loved one another through your personal sacrifice, through your personal walk with Christ. Until then, expect more of the same. Coming together, not for what you can get, but for what you can share and give to others. And you're probably, when you first come, you're not going to really be at peace. But we want you at peace. Because what happens is when you start growing in the ways of the kingdom, then suddenly, you start seeing more than you already see. This is the mystical thing. Your eyes are opened, and you begin to see more than you saw before. Now, I didn't get a cue, but I'm going to have to say goodbye. So peace on your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.